Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. I was just teasing you, Brother Chad. Just remain seated. We're going to read our text in verse 22. We'll go all the way to the end. We're not going to be preaching all of these verses tonight. It's a sermon to husbands. Amen. Amen to us. Amen to us, all of you ladies. Praise the Lord. We need it. I needed this. I hope you're encouraged tonight. Ladies, if your husband isn't here, you need to get a copy of this and nail it to him. No, I'm teasing. All right, verse 22, look what it says. The Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything." So we did that message last time. Very encouraging message. Verse 25, husbands, here we go. "Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it unto himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and or rather of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Father, tonight we thank you for this great text, and I pray for your power tonight to rest upon the message, and that it would be a glory to you, that we would be encouraged tonight. Lord, I thank you for those that are here, and I pray that you'll continue to bless Valley Avenue Baptist Church as we seek to be obedient to you, Lord. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen and amen. A lot of marriages are dealing with struggles today, and that's just a fact. Some marriages are having severe problems for a couple different reasons. You know, and by the way, let me say, marriages have a tendency to be like a roller coaster ride. You ever feel like it's like that? You ever observe those kind of things? You teens, you kids that are kind of on the outside looking in. Listen now. We need this, and this is not just for the husbands tonight, although, I mean, there's direct application to the husbands. We all need what we're going to get, principles, tonight. So it might be that you're in waiting, you're not quite married yet, maybe you're making observations. Let's let this be a warning, let this be lessons for some of us how to get some things correct before we ever get down the wrong path. But a lot of marriages have a tendency to be like a roller coaster ride. I mean, it's okay for a while, and then it's not okay, and then it's okay, and then it's not okay. And then, you know, the longer you're in that ride, the longer the lows seem like they last. And some marriages, the lows just feel like they're really low, and they're for a long time, and they're not coming up. They're not getting much better. And it gets discouraging. The word that we've used to describe sort of in an umbrella way what this whole lesson series is about is frustration. And families are dealing with severe frustration, severely struggling with, you know, how to deal with these problems we're having in our relationships. Sometimes these marriage problems are coming as a lack of faith. And here's what I mean by that. I mean, you know what the Bible says. I mean, you know what God wants you to do. You've been around a block a couple times. You're not new to this whole thing. You know the lessons. You know the stories. You know the epistles. You know the counsel. You've heard the messages. But you're not living by it. You don't have faith in it. You're wondering if it works. You're not sure if it's going to, you know, like work for you. Yeah, I get it. That works for normal Christian people. But we're not normal Christian people. Therefore, God's principles aren't going to work for us. That's called a lack of faith. God's principles are always true, and they always work. And you can always have faith in them. But at times, we struggle. And so sometimes our marriage has problems because of the lack of faith. We know, but we're just not doing it. The only other thing that it could be is we don't know. I mean, you don't know how to do it right. I mean, you feel like the rat in the thing. I don't know what those deals are called, the little rat race thing. The wheel, yeah, duh. You're in the rat wheel, and you're just spinning, 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 but you're not getting anywhere. And you don't know how to get out of that cycle. You don't know how to get out of the death cycle, if you would. And so it's not a lack of faith, it's a lack of knowledge. And Paul primarily here is speaking to a congregation of people that are dealing in the level of the lack of knowledge. He wants to teach them. These are Christians that need to mature. And so there's things they just don't know. I mean, we go to the book of Corinthians, and Paul brings stark rebuke and correction to this church because they know better. They're not foolish in regards to the knowledge of doing the right thing. They're foolish in regards to not being obedient to what they know to do. That's different than what Paul is doing in Ephesians. Paul is teaching these Christians how to be mature and the proper way to operate in their marriage, whether it be the role of the wife or whether it be the role of the husband or the children or the parents or the worker or whether you're the leader or the boss. No matter what scope you find yourself or rank you find yourself in the area of the family, Paul wants to teach the family how to operate. And he started with wives. And we look at that and we think, man, these are kind of rough terms for somebody who doesn't really understand the biblical principles that are at work here. When it says in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And we see that and we think, man, this feels like a really difficult thing to be counseled as a wife, to be in submission to your husbands. And what it doesn't mean here is that God is telling you, or Paul is telling these wives, and therefore God is telling us, or you wives, that you need to do what you're told. That's not what he's saying. Now, you need to do what you're told, not at all what he's saying. What he's saying is you need to support your man. You need to be submissive in regards to support. You need to be behind him. By the way, did you know that you can do what you're told and not be behind him? So there's definitely a difference here, and it's our spirit. We can do the things we know we're supposed to do, but still not be behind it. And so our attitude needs to change. Paul says you need to support him. Yeah, he might seem like some of the decisions he's making along the way is sort of like what somebody with a blockhead would do. You know, like, what are we doing here? I mean, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But by faith, we support as our man leads. And we get behind him. Did you know that he needs that? Paul wouldn't give this counsel if he didn't need it. We need it. And I mean to tell you what, when wives get behind their husband like this, you have no idea how it encourages him. Like what it does in him to make him feel like, yeah, you know, it just really helps us. And I don't know how to explain that in a way that maybe ladies would understand. Why does that even matter? But, well, it's just because we're men and we just operate that way. It's just part of who we are. And so by faith, you take those steps to support, you know. Doesn't mean you support what God doesn't support. It's better to obey God rather than men, right? So your husband's trying to lead you to do something that's wrong, then maybe it would be wise to stand up in disagreement with, you know, humility. But we don't support what God doesn't support, so we're not talking about that. But otherwise, let's get behind him. And so Paul says that to wives. He then goes and turns to the husbands and he pinpoints what, you know, most men have a struggle with, and that is loving your wives. Now, here's the thing. Most men, most Christian men, but I would say in a more general sense, most men would say, well, I do love my wife. You know, I would die for her. I would do all of these things for her. I mean, look, I would get this for her. I would basically give her anything that she, you know, wants along the way, if it's feasible. I mean, I do my best. And so there are men There are husbands all over the planet who are completely confused by the fact that their wives aren't happy with them when they've done, it seems, in their power, everything they can to show them that they love them. And their wives still don't seem to be happy. And so men are like, man, I do not get this. I am not understanding why this isn't working. And so these problems that men are having is what Paul is dealing with when he says, husbands, love your wives. Let me ask you a few questions. How about human effort? Guys, how about if we just decide to love our wives the best we can, you know, but do it our way? Is that going to work? No, it's going to fail in the end, isn't it? Our human effort isn't good enough. We can't love our wives with some, you know, worldly philosophy and expect that that worldly philosophy is going to be blessed by God in our marriage. And that goes both ways, doesn't it? Whether it be husbands or wives. You can't take counsel from this world and think that your marriage is going to be good. I mean, it might work for a little while, but that just contributes to the roller coaster. It just, you know, it contributes to the mess that we're in. And Paul is trying to address this to help us understand, listen, we can't rest on the philosophy of this world and the philosophies that are out there and apply those to our marriage and expect God to bless it. Can we? I don't think we can. Not at all. I've got some books that are on my bookshelf. Now, what I'm going to show you on these books is not because I have a problem necessarily with these books, okay? There's a book here called His Needs, Her Needs. There's some good stuff in here. Marriage, good stuff. There's a book here called The Five Love Languages. It's about marriage relationships. It's good stuff in here, okay? Those of you who've read these books, you would say, oh, there's good stuff in there. Love and Respect, this book I've read a few times. It's a good book, you know? Love and Respect, I guess, part two. I haven't read this one yet, but it was on my desk, so, or on my bookshelf, so I thought, well, it's the same name. The same guy wrote it, so. You know, all these books are designed to help marriages, right? Here's what I want you to think about with me. If we rest the success of our marriage on the principles that we read out of this book, out of these books, are we guaranteed that we're going to have the kind of results that God wants us to have? And that our marriage is going to be the way that God wants it to be? You see, here's the problem. Whenever we start to get outside sources, it doesn't have to just be books. You might not be a reader. It might be that there's like, you know, philosophies in the world, whether it be friends, whether it be family, whether it be TV. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that we get influence. And we start to decide, well, I'm going to apply these things to my marriage and see how it works out. You know, things might get better. Things might work out a little bit. But in the long run, these things aren't going to stand the test. The only thing about these books or about things like this that are going to actually help in the end are when these books amplify or explain the scriptures. That's the only time. Because here's what works, the scriptures. What God says about marriage, that's what works. And so when we start to bring worldly philosophies into our marriage, we're going to get ourselves in trouble. And along the way, I think here's what's happened. Men have no idea how to love. Wives, listen, it's not just the men. It's not just the men. Wives have no idea what it means for their man to love them. And so here's what we have. We have men over here, guys, listen to this. We have guys over here who want to love their wife or who want to love, you know, the way that God has, you know, designed them to love, but we don't know how. And so we give our best shot. And maybe we get it from the books that we read. Maybe we get it from friends or family. But we just, maybe we listen to our wife and we say, what can I do to show you that I love you? Tell me what I can do to tell me. Just tell me, I don't know. I want to love you, but I can't. She's like, I don't know, you know. She doesn't know. But sometimes they, you know, our wives over here, they think they know what demonstrates love to them. But most of the time it's just perceived felt needs. It's just perceived love. The only way we can get to the bottom line and know what real love is when we study the scriptures. And God tells us, you want to love your wife? Then this is what you do. This is love. Not what you're necessarily what you're going to get out of that or what you're going to get from the world. This is what God says. And this is how we, you know, understand and demonstrate what love is. Now, we're not trying to, you know, get worldly philosophy here, because that worldly philosophy, as we've just been talking about, only creates frustration in families. And it's primarily because families aren't operating according to the scriptures anymore. Isn't that right? Can I say that again and maybe get an amen right here? Families have problems because they don't operate according to the scriptures. Amen? Yeah, that's the truth. And so Paul wrote to these frustrating families to deal with that. It's time to get the word of God and bring it to our aid. Guys, I hope you're taking notes. This is going to be a real help tonight, okay? We got two of them, by the way. There's two messages to us, man, because we have real serious needs in this area. But I'm dead serious. We need to get a hold of this, because this is how you love your wife, okay? Or this is how it's demonstrated. So what does God have to say about love? Let's take a look at it. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So husbands, he says, love your wives. Here's what he's saying. When you love your wife, it needs to be Christ-like. Amen? As Christ loved the church. So our love, if it's going to come across as the love that God has designed it to come across, and that is real love, then it needs to be Christ-like love. That's what Paul is saying. Christ-like love. It implies that it can't be our love. It can't be a perceived love. It can't be a love that somebody tells us, oh, you want to show what love is, then do this. Or it can't even be the love that our wives or our future potential wives are. It can't be that what they're telling us love is. No, no, no. This is love. The analogy that Paul uses here to tell these husbands how to love their wives is the relationship that Christ has with the church. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Well, what did he do? How much did he love the church? He gave himself for it. I mean, he gave himself for the church. And that's sacrificial love, isn't it? I mean, this is not selfish love. Guys, it's not going out and buying your wife a lawnmower for her birthday. Oh, yeah, she'll love this. I'll mow the lawn with this. You know, she'll love it. No. I bought my wife one time a vacuum, and she loved that vacuum, by the way. But she didn't like it on her birthday. It wasn't good. Live and learn, right? Take notes, Brother Chad. Don't buy a vacuum. Not good. We needed a vacuum, though. I'm going to justify it. I'm going to get in more trouble here. Sacrificial love. Did you know that? She's not laughing. It is funny, though. That's not in my notes either. Sacrificial love, it means that along the way, it might make you uncomfortable. It's not really all that comfortable to sacrifice, is it? And so the implication here is you're not necessarily going to be comfortable. It doesn't mean that you need to go out there and do something weird, though. Right? I mean, people do weird stuff to show their wife that they love her. Like I'm going to sing you a romantic song in a crowd of people. That's weird. Okay? She might think, oh, how romantic. You don't have to do that. Come on. How about this? Spend a whole week writing a poem. Guys, this is going to be good. Attach it to a bouquet of flowers. Deliver it, you know, with a bunch of chocolates or whatever. I mean, you wrote a poem. I mean, that's points right there, right? I'm not necessarily saying some of this stuff is wrong. I'm just saying some of this, you know, when we do this, this isn't what Jesus is saying is love. Okay? How about this one? Took me a while to think of this one. I was trying to think of weird ways we could say we love you. How about if we did a hot air balloon? Now that automatically is romantic, isn't it? Hot air balloon. Shh, we're going up. I'm afraid of heights. I think I'd be barely peeking over the basket, you know. But we get all the way up. And then the guy who's the hot air balloon manager, he starts to sing. He's got a great voice too. And then all of a sudden, you know, the sun starts to go down and there's a whole bunch of people holding torches down on the ground. And it's in the shape, I love you. Isn't that romantic? I think that's a little bit weird too. Do we need to do that? I mean, do we need to do these things to really show our wife that we love them? Well, whenever Paul says, as Christ loved the church, he's not saying give her whatever she wants. He's not saying do something weird to show her that you love her. The analogy of sacrificial love here is used to explain the love a husband should have for his wife, sacrificing that it might produce something. Oh, this is where it gets good. You see, you're not sacrificing so that you can give her something. You're not doing without so she can have something. You're sacrificing so that it would produce something in her. So that in her it would create something. Well, what is it that we're trying to create? Well, let's let the scriptures tell us. Why did Jesus do what he did? Look at verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the what? By the word. That would be the word of God. Therefore, the love that is Christ-like, the sacrificial love that would be like Christ's love, produces sanctification and cleansing through the word of God. This is godliness, isn't it? This is a godly love. Look at verse 27. That he might present it unto himself a glorious church. Now the analogy is Christ with the church, but what this analogy is designed to explain is the husband and the wife. And so when a husband loves his wife with Christ-like love, it produces godliness in her. That's what he's saying. It produces purity in her, that he might present himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. This is purity. So Christ's sacrificial love was presented to sanctify and cleanse the church with the word. Christ-like love purifies. And so wives are purified by the love of their husbands when it's Christ-like. The sacrificial love that Paul is talking about here, men, is leading your family in the Word of God. That's awesome. That's what he's saying. Leadership from the Word of God. Husbands demonstrate love to their wives when they lead them according to the Scriptures. She's cleansed when we love her. She's cleansed when we love her. It means to make clean. It means to remove impurities. And so a husband that loves his wife is godly and brings godliness in the home. And he has a godly home. And he doesn't let wickedness in the home because he's a leader. And he's leading his family. He's cleansing his family. He's leading them not just with a worldly leadership or from a leadership from the, you know, like TV or movies or from some books. No, we're getting it from God. We're getting it from the Scriptures. We're getting cleansed and purified. We're getting all of these things from the Word of God. And a husband loves whenever he leads this way. That is powerful stuff. I rearranged my office last week. Was it this week? I don't even remember. It had to have been this week. I was gone last week. So it's been a long week, I guess. So I rearranged my office, you know, because the new chair that I got, it's a little bit bigger, and every time I turn, it was banging on my desk, and it was tearing it up, so I didn't want to, you know, tear my chair up, plus it was tight. So I rearranged a little bit, and I realize, we start moving stuff, how dirty things are. Really dirty. So I got the paper towels and the, that spray dusting stuff, and everything got cleaned up. And it takes a lot of work to really get in there and clean up the dirty spots. I mean, you have to really, give attention, special attention to it, and, you know, to get things cleaned up properly. So to love your wives, here's what God is saying. You need to give special attention to your godliness. And that's how she knows you love her. Godliness requires sacrifice. We talked about sacrificial love. God wants you to be godly. It requires you to sacrifice. It means you can't do things the way that you want to do things. Did you know that sacrifice is uncomfortable? Not in a weird way. Not doing weird things. But showing your wife that you love her by determining to be godly means you're going to have to sacrifice some things out of your life. And that's uncomfortable. But that's what's necessary. We're going to have to stop doing this. We're going to have to stop doing that. We can't do this anymore. We can't allow this anymore. This isn't good for you. This isn't good for us. This isn't good for our family. This isn't good for our kids. We're going to have to make some changes. That's godly. Yeah. Changing things according to the Word of God means that we're going to have to know the Word of God, and we're going to have to understand what God wants us to do. And as I said, it's not always comfortable. I remember recently whenever I stopped drinking coffee. Anybody in here like coffee? Okay. Hallelujah. The Lord is with you. So I went to the doctor. He said I was, I was inflamed. I had inflammation because of caffeine. And I was like, no. I mean, come on. Coffee? No, that's what it is. So he said, you can't have coffee anymore. I'm like, well, you got to be kidding me, right? Like, I drink three cups of coffee every day. You know, that's a cup right there. I'm not talking about like 3 cups of coffee every day. You know, you got to stop. That was hard. A lot of uncomfortable times, headaches and the whole thing, right? But it was necessary. Those things needed to be removed. The question tonight is, are you willing to give some things up? Are you willing to get some things out of your life? That's what it's going to take for you to love the way God wants you to love. Well, I love my wife. I don't need to do anything. Wrong. You're wrong. Love isn't what you say it is. Love isn't what your wife says it is. This is love. Lead your family. Be godly. That's love. That's what he's saying here. Be godly. To love your wife. And if you love her, be godly. It's just that simple. Make your home a godly home. You know what that means? It means we're not going to watch certain TV stuff. That's what it should mean. It means that we're not going to allow certain kind of music in the house. It means we're not going to do the alcohol thing. We're not going to do the smoking thing. We're not going to use language like that in this house. Right? I think this is appropriate. We're not going to gossip. You have something bad to say? We're not going to do that here. It's not godly. So we need to be godly. So here's what happens, men. You decide, this is who I'm going to be. I'm going to be godly. I'm going to leave my house. Praise God. We're going to do it. This is hard. Uncomfortable, not easy. But this is how you love. Like, no, listen, I mean, it's right there. This is how you love. This is sacrificial love. It's not comfortable. Be godly. Here's what happens. As you learn to be godly, then you will be teaching your wife, you will be teaching your family to be sensitive to God. You are sensitive to God. You are teaching your family to be sensitive to God. You read your Bible, you teach your family to read their Bible every day. You pray every day, you teach your family to pray every day. Right? You are faithful to church and you teach your family to be faithful to church. Oh, I don't want to go to church today. Are you barfing? Is your arm broken? Okay. No, you're going to church. Yeah. Be godly. You be godly, and here's what God says that is. This is the end right here. That's love. Isn't that good? And that is so opposite of what we would get from what the world says love is. And it's not the only way we show our wife or our family, for that matter, that we love them. This is only part one. So you feel that? That was action-packed. Wait till the next one, man. It's even better. Praise the Lord. Father, tonight we love you. We thank you for your faithfulness, and we think of love as demonstrated through the example we have of Jesus Christ. Lord, what an example he is of love sacrificial love, giving himself for us. And Lord, help us to be faithful to give ourselves, that we might cleanse, that we might purify with the word. Lord, help us to be these kind of leaders. Lord, I pray for all of those that are here tonight, that you'd help us, no matter where we are in our families, to gain from this great truth tonight. And we'll give you the glory for it. Every head's bowed, nobody's looking around.